I'll take a few minutes this morning, then we'll sing again, then I'll turn it over to Ralph. But you can be turning to John chapter 9. Now, I've thought about this passage for some time, and then as Ralph was preaching last night, I started thinking about it again. And then last night after the service, after I was home, this morning some, I began reading over John chapter 9, and I simply highlighted some things that I want to mention. Now, I have quite a lengthy passage to read because it's actually the whole chapter, John chapter 9. But before I do that, I will mention a phrase. I believe it should be familiar to at least most everyone. There is a phrase in the Bible: there is nothing new under the sun. Does anybody know what that means? That means there is nothing new under the sun. That's what that means. In other words, men are just like they always were. Mankind is still the same. But even more important than that, God Almighty and His truth is still the same. So just remember that as I begin to read this chapter, and I'll make a few comments here or there. Remember, there is nothing new under the sun. We are going to read, I'm going to read out of 1611 Elizabethan English, which has actually been updated somewhat. It's not the actual 1611 English. These people who love the KJV as though God wrote the English Himself, you know, this has actually been changed from the original KJV. Whether they know that or not, I don't think they care. But as I read this, we're talking about a couple thousand years ago that this account took place. But what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes was still true then and is still true now. There's nothing new under the sun. So let me begin reading. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Again, I say there is nothing new under the sun. Man still wants to contribute all negative, hurtful, harmful, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it. Man today still wants to attribute all difficulties and all troubles to some specific sin. Has this bad thing fell upon me because I did thus or thus? Or someone asks the question, if I do this, will that happen to me? And I'll repeat what Tim James says. What do you mean, if I do this? You have. You know that we ask that, what if I do this? What do you mean, if? You have. And God says we're guilty of all. Right? God says, through James, that if we've offended in one point, we're guilty of all. God doesn't have so many laws. He has one law that has many commandments. Okay? That's why the scripture, Paul says, the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good. And then look at Christ's answer. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now here's the question. Was this man sinless? No. Because Scripture's quite clear, Old and New Testament, we have all sinned. This truth is clear. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Was this man's parents sinless? No. The same truth applies. But you know who had sinned? Why is there physical maladies in this world? Why is there trouble? Why is there difficulty? Somebody sinned, but it's not some specific sin that we now commit. The scripture says, as in Adam, all die. Somebody had sinned, and his name was Adam. That's why things are like they are today. But here's something else. Why did that happen? Now some say, well, because, you know, just it's something that God couldn't help. You know, it just kind of happened. But the truth is, God wouldn't have had to even put that tree in the garden had he not purposed to put that tree in the garden. Why was this man like he was? That the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's why. We fail in Adam because God is going to be pleased. God has been pleased to get honor to himself, both in his grace and mercy, and in his wrath and his judgment. There is nothing new under the sun. Then Christ proceeds. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. But now let me say once again, there is nothing new under the sun. The neighbors, therefore. The neighbors, therefore. Because God Almighty sovereignly did something for one person. The neighbors, therefore. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him which was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, yeah, that's him. Right? This is he. And others said, he's like him. You see that? But he said, no, that's me. It's me. There's nothing new under the sun. There's one thing true about the work of God Almighty in saving a sinner. People will know something's happened, but they have no idea what it is. You know it? They will know something's happened, but they have no idea what it is. Religion says, let men see Jesus in you. And this, I've heard many people say it. It's been passed on and passed on. The fact is, they did not see Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ himself. They are not going to see Jesus Christ in me. These people did not see this as a sovereign work of God, did they? As the context will clearly prove. Right? But see, the thing about it is, everybody's going to know something's happened. And they're going to disagree as to what has actually happened. But they don't know the truth. They may say, well, one of us is right. But you know what? Both of them were wrong. Weren't they? The neighbors therefore, and they that which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, yeah, that's him. Others said, he's like him. But he said, no, it's still me. There is nothing new under the sun. Now you may say, I may say, you may feel, I may feel, whatever the phrase there we may want to use, I may say, I'm a child of God. I may say, God has done a work of grace in my life, and it may be true. But you know what? I am still me. I'm still that guy that sat and begged and was blind. I still have everything I was before. I may have something new that I did not have before, but I still have all I had before. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus. Now let me say something. There is nothing new under the sun. And the truth is, while we do not know all that the Old Testament prophets knew, We don't know what all they knew, what all they understood, but they were not completely ignorant. From the beginning, the promise was made, the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. That's a human being, right? That's a human being. And there's one thing this man who was blind, when he was made to see, when he was given his sight, he knew the person that did it. But as we will find out, he didn't know a whole lot about him. You see, the point's not how much you know about him, is did this one, have you met the real man? Have you met that man called Jesus? Because it's not the beginning. How this gift comes is not what you know, it's who confronts you. It's who crosses your path. When Jesus passed by, it wasn't when the beggar found Jesus, it's when Jesus found the beggar. And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. Now see, the point is, he doesn't know a whole lot right now, does he? He doesn't understand a whole lot right now, does he? But I'm here to say there's nothing new under the sun. It is evidenced by the preponderant testimony of Scripture that mankind, from the beginning, not long after man fell, man began to boast himself in his knowledge. Right? Man knew God existed. That's why they got together and built a tower and tried to get to it. Man knew God existed. But he didn't really know who God was. We were so ignorant that we thought we could build a tower out of stone and reach God Almighty. Who is he? Where is he? And he said, I know not. And then look, there's nothing new under the sun. When the common everyday man cannot answer the truth as to what has happened to someone when God shows them grace, they will run for the religious authorities. That's what man always does, don't he? The common everyday man, when he can't explain God's work away, is going to run to the religious authorities for an answer. Look, they brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now there is nothing new under the sun. You know what? God always works contrary to the way man thinks God ought to work. Right? God said to man, don't work on the Sabbath day. But I will. God said, do no murder. Right? You know what God says? I kill who I want. Doesn't he? Ralph and I talked about this somewhat the other day. There's nothing new under the sun. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in God's sight. You see, God Almighty works when he gets ready to, not when men think he ought to. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. But let me tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. As much as religious people want you to think, well, we all know what the truth is, we all agree, they don't agree amongst themselves. Do they? This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. But what did others say? How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And the truth is, there's nothing new under the sun. And there was a division among them. Why? Because of him. You see? Because of him. Did not our Lord say, I am not come to bring peace, but a sword? And what is the primary use of a sword? Now, if you say to stick, it's not so. Because the primary use of a sword originally, especially when man, in the first beginnings of knowing how to form such a weapon, it was not primarily used to thrust through, but to divide, to slash, to cut apart, to cut open, is to divide. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am not come to bring peace, but a sword. And I'm just going to paraphrase this. He said, basically, I'm coming and I will split families apart. The truth of God will split families apart. And guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. Read it here. It did. Look, but the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's reached the age of accountability. It's up to him now. Let him answer. Huh? There ain't nothing new under the sun. Man is still purporting, trying to escape the truth of God by claiming there comes a time when each of us is then responsible for ourselves. And as I've said many times, and I will try to keep saying, we are not responsible. We are irresponsible. We are accountable. We are accountable, whether we like it or not. He's of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And it's true, Ralph, they still like free will. It's his choice, let him talk for himself. But you know what? This man had no choice. Christ didn't ask him if he wanted to see. Did he? He made him to see. And anybody who knows they're blind, if they knew there was somebody that could make them see, you think they're going to be stupid enough to not have that? Well, I don't think I'll have that gift. I believe I'll remain in my blindness. And the truth of Scripture is this. You actually have to be made to see before you ever know you're blind. You don't even ever know you're blind until God first allows you to see. You got to be able to see you're blind. Somebody said it don't make sense. Well, evidently you haven't been there then. Seriously, you haven't been there then. Now these words spank his parents. Because why? Nothing new under the sun. We want to keep our religion. We want to keep the status quo. No matter how great, this is their son. He sees now. Why wouldn't they ask him, who did this? He might help us out a little. Right? There might be something he has to give me. But why? These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, this man, this Jesus, that he was the Christ. If anybody said, that man Jesus is the Christ, we're going to put him out of the synagogue. And let me tell you something. There is nothing new under the sun. There is a concerted effort among religion to, if not at least outright deny, but at least to somehow hide and punish the truth of God and those who hold to it. You believe whatever you want, but if you are, you can't play in our school. You can't be in our group. I know Scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And that's a vital piece of information for us. But let me tell you, we also know that once God Almighty does something for us, they'll kick us out. They don't want us around anymore. Therefore, according to John, he says, therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Do we not see the depravity of human nature here? Your own child who was born blind has never seen a day in his life. He has been forced to be a beggar. And all of a sudden, David, here's your grown child. Grown, yes, but he's still your child. And he sees. And you don't care about how this happened. Just because what you care about is the status quo, your place in the community, your place among men. That's depravity. So blind, you don't see the glory of what's happened right in front of you. That's the way we all are by nature. It continues, then again called they the man that was blind, and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. Now, this is basically, he said, whether he be a sinner, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Now let me stop and say there's nothing new under the sun. And I will go back to what I said before. I didn't finish it, but I will go back now to what I said before. Whether it was from the early days of man, throughout the time of the Old Testament, whether it was the time of Christ's enfleshment on this earth, or the time preceding up until this age, men always boast in what they think they know. And man actually thinks today that they're saved by how much they know. There's even Bible tracts, four things you must know to be saved. And I have even heard grace men. I've seen them write out things. And it varies. That's the problem. I'll read. I'm talking about my brothers in Christ. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be straightforward and truthful this morning. I may have even done it myself in time past. Three things you must know to be saved. And then my other brother comes along and writes four things you must know to be saved. And I'm thinking, all right, which one's right? Do I need to waste my time on the fourth one? Well, I need to concentrate on the three. Or if I'm concentrating on the three, am I missing the fourth? Do you not see there's a dilemma there? Somebody's wrong, or they're both wrong. Correct? You see, it's not a matter of what you know. It's a matter of who has confronted your path. It matters as to who you've met along your way in life. And if you've met the Christ of God, He will, in His own good time, reveal Himself to you as He is. Because what does He say? Whether he be a sinner, I know not. Now, did he really think he might be a sinner? Let's read on. Whether he be a sinner, I know not. One thing I know. This is what I do know for sure. This is one thing. You can't argue me out of this. You know, I may have doubts. You know, I may have to cry, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. But there's one thing about a child of God. If you've ever known you're blind, and God's made you to see, you know you see. You know you've met somebody that's totally different than anybody else. You've met a man that's totally different than any other man you've ever met. I was blind, I now see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And you know what? He just like us. There's nothing new under the sun. You get fed up after a while. And God will force you to give an answer of much more. Listen, of much more than what God did for you. Huh? Now, it's glorious, but we don't concentrate merely on what God Almighty did for us or even what He did to us. Look at what it says. He answered them, I have told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Are you going to follow Him too? And what about that? Getting a little cynical already, ain't he? Ain't even been a whole day yet, and he's already getting a little smart aleck. Huh? Getting a little testy. Huh? Getting fed up with religion. And it takes the work of God to get you fed up with religion. It does. It takes God. Me being blind, it takes God giving us sight, and we know He's given us sight, and you'll begin to get tired of religion. And they'll think, well, yeah, he's really losing it now. Then there's nothing new under the sun. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he was, whence he is." Then, or says, "The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes." Now we know, now this is him still talking. Somewhere this man all of a sudden started to get some understanding, didn't he? This blind beggar, right? "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." What's he actually saying? He evidently can do anything he wants. Again, he's opened the eyes of some. He's done something that no one else is even capable of doing. He can do what he wants. "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin." You're really bad. Right? There's nothing new under the sun. Now you could have been the most decent, sweetest, meekest person in society, in your community, and God Almighty saves you by His free sovereign grace, and the community is going to turn on you and say, "We knew you was really bad. There was something you was hiding. You was altogether born in sins." They denied their own doctrine. They had the Old Testament, did they not? They knew of the fall. Did they not? Sure they did. They knew this. "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And then what'd they do? Get out. Get out. Now if it just stopped there, it'd be kind of a sad story, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? I mean, still there's a glory there. But let me tell you, Scripture says we go from glory to glory. Right? And thank God He don't leave us just there. Now that's glorious. To have been blind from birth and now see, Mason, that's glorious. But look, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Now this is amazing. You know what? There were very few instances where Jesus Christ publicly, even individually, confronted someone with this question. On many occasions, I hear him saying, "Now, you've seen this happen?" People say, "You're the Messiah. You're the Christ." And what did he tell them to do? Shh. Don't tell anybody. Right? And he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him." How did he see him? He didn't see. The only way he seen him was by him doing, this very Christ, doing the work for him. He wouldn't have seen him had he not prior done the work for him. But since he done the work for him, guess who he's seeing? The one that did the work for him. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Now think about that. Not only had he been with him, okay? Not only had he been with him, but he decided to come back and visit him again. And the truth of Scripture is, while our Old Testament brothers and sisters were blessed with the presence of the Lord, the truth is, brothers and sisters, we have been blessed with the continual indwelling of God Almighty in us. Amen. You know that? And we've also been blessed to be out from under the constraints of the law. You know? They believed God as we believe God, but they were forced to operate under the constraints of the commands of the law. We're not. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him as he that talked with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe. You know what he's saying? I believe what you said. And there's nothing new under the sun. That is what confessing Christ is. I believe what you say. All we can do, if God's worked on us, if God's given us grace, all we can do is believe words. You know what I mean? That's all we have to believe, is words. Words. Now here's the thing. We read, we can say, well, the Pharisees then, are we blind? You know? I'm not even going to read that part. The amazing thing is, the human mind, for some reason, gets down to verse 41, and we get this mental block, and we stop. All right, chapter 10. Because usually we're structured that way. Maybe it's a conspiracy, I don't know. Because when you read a book, you know that in a chapter division, you're starting while it has something to do with the other chapters. When you start a new chapter, you're starting something different, right? That's why our society's set up. But that's not true here. Remember, these chapter divisions and verse divisions have nothing to do with context. They're there for convenience only. Only. Jesus didn't stop with this point of telling them, your sin remains. You're still blind. Your sin remains. You know who this parable of the good shepherd and the sheep is actually told to? Unbelievers. Christ was not telling this parable to believers. He was telling unbelievers what believers do. Wasn't he? And you know what? Here, the context. One man's been kicked out of the synagogue. Why? Because God Almighty did a work of mercy and grace on him. And what did Christ tell these people? I'm going to lay down my life for that man. Look at it, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he said about this sheep, what? I know them how? By name. This one, that's right. Yes, he's just one man. You've all kicked him out. But he's my sheep. He's not stopped talking here. This is my sheep. And I'm going to lay down my life for him. He's secure because of me. And then he turned and looked at them. And you know what he said? You're not my sheep. There's nothing new under the sun. You see, before Adam was even created, God already had his sheep. God already had his sheep. And when Adam failed, that, through representation, caused some of the sheep to become lost sheep. But they're still sheep. And who finds the lost sheep? The good shepherd. Who found this man in his state? God. Who did all the work here? Somebody said, well, he told him to go wash. He didn't have to. Did he have to spit on the ground, make clay, and put it in his eyes and tell him to go wash? Did he have to do that? He raised Lazarus from the dead. Right? Why did he do it that way? Because he was pleased to. You know, God's made some people give up certain things. And not to be saved, but because he showed them mercy and grace. He'll take certain things away from them. But you know, he doesn't do that to everyone. You know that? He told that rich young ruler, you go sell everything he had, you got. He didn't tell us that, did he? He didn't tell us that. Somebody said, it don't make sense. No, God is sovereign. He does as he pleases. But here's the point. He knows who his sheep are. And he knows who the goats are. And the truth is, he could look at individuals and say, that's one of my sheep. But you know what? You're not one of my sheep. Now the fact is, I can't do that. I cannot look at you individually and say, that one's a sheep, this one's not. That one's a sheep, this one's not. Somebody said, well, that one don't believe. Well, they will eventually if they're one of the sheep. They will eventually. Well, but that one there, oh, they seem like they really got it. They must be one of the sheep. But some people fall away. Some people go into apostasy. But the truth is, there are some people who are sheep and there are some people who are not. And that truth still stands. It is no different. And who did Christ die for? The sheep. the sheep. Mason, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you.